You may be seated if you're turning your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I want to speak to you on the subject, pay the full price. Pay the full price. You know, it seems like everybody today is looking for a deal. They're looking for bargain basement pricing. But with God, there are no cheap ways into God's blessings. The only way you can get God's blessings is to pay the full price. I'm working on something right now. I really don't need another vehicle, but there's some cars that I know of, and there's a deal, but they hadn't got to my price yet. So I'm looking a real bargain-based price. But I also know that when it comes to God, there are no shortcuts, that you got to pay the full price. We're reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 21. Pastor Ricky had stopped his sermon somewhere along here last week, and I was thinking about preaching this first sermon, and when he did that, I knew this was the word for tonight. 1 Chronicles 21:21. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor, bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me this place of the threshing floor that I may build an altar there in unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it to me, look at this, for the full price. That's David talking, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said to David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, no, but I will verily buy, look at this, for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built thine altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of the burnt offering. Verse 27, and the Lord commanded the angel, he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you're a good God and you want all of us. Lord, I put it on the marquee. God will take a broken heart, but he wants a whole one. And Lord, you want all of us. And Lord, I was thinking today and talking with my wife, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Pay the full price. And Lord, I told her, I said, everything that we need has a spiritual basis. If we will seek God, he will add everything. So, Father, we just thank you as we seek you, as we give ourselves totally to you, that you're going to give us everything that we have need of. You said that you would withhold nothing good from those who love you. So we love you and praise you. Thank you for opening those windows. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that David said to Ornan, I will buy it for the full price. So many people, they're looking for success spiritually, materially, with our families, with our marriages, and with our professions. Yet many times people are not willing to pay the price for that success. The truth of the matter is, it's going to cost you something if you're going to see God's plan and God's desire fulfilled in your life. I love David. I love him because he was a man that loved God, but he made some terrible mistakes. I love the Bible because it presents people just as they are. God shows their flaws. He shows everything about people in the Bible to let us know that they were just ordinary people. See, it doesn't always present people who are on top of the world and victorious and winning in everything they do. But the Bible presents people as they really are. And it shows us that God uses ordinary people to accomplish supernatural things. They were not supernatural people. They were not unlike us. They were not so far above us spiritually, but they were just ordinary people, people like you and people like me, people of like passions. That was a prophet. And the Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passions, just like you and just like me. but he was used of God mightily. He shut the heavens up for 3.5 years. Said, that won't be any rain till I say so. He got a word from God, and when God told him to open up the windows, he prayed. It didn't happen the first time. He was a man that had a passion for God, and he just got in that eastern posture of prayer, and he kept on praying. He sent a servant out there. He said, do you see any rain? He said, I don't see a thing. He sent him 7 times. He said, I see a hand, a cloud like the size of a man's hand. He said, I hear the abundance of rain. See, he persisted in prayer, and that's what you're going to have to do. That's what I'm going to have to do. We're going to have to take this Bible, and we're going to have to learn how to love people, how to forgive people. You know, when people do you wrong, that's reality. But I promise you something. When you fail to forgive, that is what your reaction. When they do you wrong, they did that to you. When you fail to forgive them, you did that to you. So just pick up the Bible and love people and do what God said do. I look at God and how he forgave me of so much. I say, God, how could I ever fail to forgive those when you forgave me of so much? And if you want your prayers answered, let me help you a little bit. Forgive. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, your Father which is in heaven will not forgive you, and your prayers, they will be hindered. So one of the ways to live in victory is to love God and love people. See, these people, they were just like you and me that are in the pages of the Bible. But the glory of God was with them. The hand of the Lord was upon their life. And the Bible tells us that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. You know, God just uses weak people. When I am weak, then am I strong. I want to be strong, but you know, when I cannot do it, when I don't have the answer, I can call upon a God who does, who knows the thoughts and intents of my heart. And that God is your God. And if you'll call upon him, you can get an answer. The Bible tells us that his strength is made perfect in weakness. And God uses people that we would overlook, that we don't see much use for them. God uses them. Sometimes we think, well, that person, they have just messed up too bad. The situation is just too hard for God. Let me tell you, there are no impossibilities with God. All the impossibilities are with us. But we serve a supernatural God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power of God that's working in you. And I just believe if we'll start praying more, and we just come off 21 days of prayer and fasting, if we'll keep seeking God. We had a prayer meeting. I wish some of you had been here that weren't here Friday night. The glory of God fell. People were laughing, slain in the floor, filled with God's joy. I tell you, I haven't come down yet. The Bible says that it's joy unspeakable, full of glory. Perhaps your joy level is not where it should be because you missed Friday night prayer. Oh, come on now. Help me out. Praise God. God uses people that we would overlook sometimes. But sometimes the people that mess up too bad, they're the people that God will raise up. He gets the glory, and he gets the honor out of our lives. You know, I thought about Rahab the harlot, Rahab the hooker, Rahab the tramper, the tramp that worked the red light district of Jericho. Do you know that she did something, and she's in the hall of fame, and she's the great, 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 great grandmother of King David, the man I'm preaching about tonight. And guess what? David, Jesus Christ, is the son of David. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. So that hooker that was all messed up back there, that nobody thought that it could ever be any good come out of her, Jesus Christ, that if you follow the genealogy, comes right down through the son of David. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. God just uses people. Because God loves people no matter where they are and what they have done. See, David was God's man, but David made some terrible mistakes. He had some terrible failures. He committed adultery with another man's wife. He had that man, Uriah Hittite, he had him murdered. He lied. He tried to hide his sin. He failed, but he cried out to God, and he begged for mercy, and God forgave him, and God restored his soul. Read Psalms 51. If you want to hear a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that man cries out to God. He's broken. His sin has been revealed. And now everybody knows about King David. But the thing about it, David realized, my God knows. And David turned to the Lord. And he had that child that was born. Let me help you out. That little boy, David fasted and David prayed. And everybody, when the child died, David saw the change in their countenance. And David just said, he got up, said, I'm hungry. Get me some food. People couldn't understand that. See, the law required that Bathsheba and David both be stoned to death. That was what the law required. But the prophet says, you're going to live. That little child was a type of Christ. That little baby's life was spared. That was their substitute. When you sin, there must be a blood substitute. Guess what? All your sins were washed away by the Calvary's blood. Hallelujah. And God was pointing all the way, everywhere you look in that Bible, if that's something the law requires, if it doesn't take place, God has put a sacrifice there. And God gave the ultimate sacrifice when he gave his son Jesus. David knew he was a prophet of God. He was a priest. He was a king. He had a tremendous anointing on his life. But David messed up. Now, in the text I read, when David was about to go into battle, he made the terrible mistake of numbering God's people. And when he did that, it grieved God. It angered him. All David wanted to make sure of was, do I have enough men to win this battle? But God told him, don't number Israel. Don't do that before you go into battle. See, God did not want him counting on his numbers. God wanted him counting on his God. God had won all his battles before. Why wouldn't God win his battles now? God told him, don't do that. Joab, his main man, the commander, he told him, don't do that, David. God didn't want David's security to be in his numbers. He wanted his security to be in his God. Hallelujah. And it's the same with you and me. And for you and me, you know, that doesn't seem like such a big deal. Because if I'm going into a situation, you know, I'm an accountant. My background is I just want to know, do I have enough? Do I have enough to do this thing? Everybody wants to know in our economy today, do I have enough to do what I need to do in this situation that I'm facing? But many times, God will put you into a situation where you don't have enough, that your sufficiency is of God and not of yourself. Sometimes God just wants to get us out of our comfort zone. God is never drawn to full. God is always drawn to empty. God is always drawn to a need. So if you have a tremendous need, you are a candidate for a miracle. Hallelujah. You know, I can remember many times in my life where God has led me to places and he has fixed it so I had to depend totally upon God. Amen. I had a legal right in one occasion I was involved in with others. And if I had enforced, I could have enforced my legal rights. But no matter what I did, it would have hurt someone. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed about this thing just to make sure. And I told my wife, I said, Teresa, I said, no matter what I do, I lose. There's no way I can win. If I enforce my rights, I lose. If I don't enforce my rights, I lose. Either way, the only thing I can do is pray and trust God, because anything I do, I lose. God will have to fix this thing. Because no matter what I do, I know that I'm going to lose if God doesn't fix it. But I remember when I told Teresa that, all of a sudden, the spirit of prophecy came over me. And I told her, I said, I'm not going to do anything. God will have to fix this thing. And then the spirit of prophecy come over me. I said, you watch God. I said, if God doesn't fix this thing now, God will fix it somewhere down the road. Hallelujah. And I remember how I walked through that thing and I had to go through it. And my, you know, my natural man is telling me certain things, but I had prayed and I'd gotten an answer from God. And I knew that was a supernatural word that God had given me. And 2 hours before the deal was to go down, I got my answer and God came through for me. He made me wait 2 hours before. What are you waiting on? From God. Hallelujah. What is it in your life? Pay the full price. Glory to God. Pay everything that it requires. Seek God and let God direct your steps. Hallelujah. I tell you, God is a good God. And our God will bless you if you will only trust him. I just penned this down. You've heard it before. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the creator of all things, the manager of all time. He always was. He always is. He always shall be. He has no predecessor. He has no successor. And what I'm trying to say is you can trust him. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging. His mind is on me. He's my redeemer. He's my savior. He's my guide. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my comfort. He's my Lord. He's my life. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And what I'm trying to say is you can trust him. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. Preachers are just like you. Just ordinary people. Until I get up here. Now, when I get up here, something else happens. Hallelujah. But preachers are like you. The only difference is the anointing comes when I get up here. But I have to pay the full price. That is a price for the anointing. And I'll say it again. Don't let your happiness be in anybody else's head. Let your happiness be in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you walk like that, praise God, eyes not seen, ears not heard. It's not even entered the hearts of man. The things God has prepared for those that love him. Supernatural things. Supernatural breakthroughs. Supernatural blessing. Things you've never thought would happen. Praise God. God will show up. God will shake himself. He's a heavyweight. Then he'll show off and do something wonderful for you. Go and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have to pay the full price. I have to pay the price for the anointing. I'm so glad that 21 days of fasting's over. Hallelujah. We set out there today. That was a good steak we had, brother, wasn't it? I tell you. I was ready for some meat. I mean some real meat. Some I could sink my teeth into and some I could chew on for a little while. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says they heard John, but they followed Jesus. Ministry is at its best when people hear the preacher, but they follow Jesus. Don't get your eyes on following a preacher. You need to hear the preacher if he's preaching the truth, but you need to follow Jesus. Anything good that's ever happened in your life, God deserves the glory. Give God the glory. Hallelujah. No one else could have fixed your life when you were lost in sin. No man could have saved you. No man could have helped you. No man could have brought you out. Hallelujah. So give the glory to God. If God hadn't come and brought you out, you wouldn't have gotten out. Hallelujah. It was God. God so loved the world, he gave. And then he came looking you. He came on a mission, sent the Holy Ghost to search you out, shine the searchlight of God's glory on your path, searched you out. Snatched you out of darkness, translated you out of that kingdom, over into the kingdom of his dear Son of light, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. We are children of the King. Hallelujah. We have authority. We have power. We have anointing. Glory to God. We're not subject to the devil. He's subject to us in Jesus' name. Go on, praise the Lamb. Glory to God. David made a big mistake. He just wanted to know, when I go into this battle, do I have enough? Have I got enough to win? See, you've got to understand something about God. God gives miracles to people who don't have enough. God is attracted to people who don't have enough. I'll tell you when you're on the brink of your miracle. When people walk around and look at you and say, you'll never make it, no hope. When people say, you're not qualified, you don't have enough. When they tell you, you don't have enough of what it takes at this point. When God sees people running you down like that, and God has put his hand upon you, and God has stamped his approval on you, praise God, God will move heaven and earth just to get your miracle to you. When people look and say, there's no way out of this situation, if you'll set your affection upon things above, I promise you, on the authority of God's word and from a lifetime of experience walking with the Master, praise God, they'll have to shake their heads and say, I just don't understand it. I know him. I know who he was. But God, woo, glory to God. Raboko shakabahaya, glory to God. But God, but God, but God. Hallelujah. They just have to stand there and scratch their head. Say, how could that ever happen to them? Because they paid the full price. Have you paid the full price? Have you given God everything? Have you said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done? I reached that place a long time ago. And I say, God, if I'm not in your will, I could care less about all the fame and all that stuff. I just want to work in your kingdom. If my assignment was to be the doorkeeper, I promise you one thing. I would strive for a spirit of excellence. I'd be the best doorkeeper you ever seen at Westmoreland. Welcome to Westmoreland, a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. We've been praying for you. Your miracle is on the way. I want you to know we've already set the atmosphere for it. Hallelujah. We're a praying church. We're a loving church. We're a growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God loves to bless people who don't have enough. He loves to bless you when you're down to 5 loaves and 3 fishes. He loves to bless you when you're in the middle of a famine and all you got is a little meal and a cruse of oil to feed yourself and your son and then die. Hallelujah. See, you don't have enough, but then the miracle shows up because God showed up. God loves to bless you when your taxes are due and you, all you got is a fishing pole and a worm and a hook and you go put it down in the water and a fish comes up with the tax money in its mouth. Hallelujah. Go to that. Go and praise him. Hallelujah. God loves to bless you when it looks like there's no way out and you don't have enough. Amen. And that's the way it works with David. David missed a tremendous opportunity to see the power of God when he numbered God's people. Doesn't seem like a big thing, but God had always fought his battle. What happens to you when you fight your battle? What happens to me when I begin to fight it and I take it on in the flesh? I tell you what happens. God just moves back. And you'll see what happened to old King David. God says, okay, if you want to do it, I'll let you do it. He said, if you want me to do it, I'm the God who's more than enough. I'm the El Shaddai. I'm the God that can fix it for you if you let me fix it. You know, sometimes you just have to let go and let God. When I was going through the greatest struggle of my life, God gave me that word, let go and let God. And it was like I was playing football. It's like God would just take the ball and I didn't get that thing, and I'd run with it for a while. And then all of a sudden, stuff would start going wrong. I'd done everything God said to do, but when it started going wrong, I would stop. I said, okay, God, I'm going to let go. I'm passing it off to you. And I passed that thing off to God. I got it written down. I got all the details. I documented it because I was a man that I was in a tragic situation. And I needed to hear the voice of God. And I knew what the scripture said. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I want to do everything I could to be a good man. Amen. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, God had the ball. Phew, here comes one of those long distance passes. Boom. I'd catch that thing and I'd go on with it a little while. And then that word would come back to me. Let go and let God. And you know what I finally figured out God was doing? God was teaching me to hear his voice. Because God had a plan much bigger than my need. God wanted me to carry his word to the nations. God wanted me to work in his kingdom. And he was teaching me his voice and his ways. And I miss it sometimes, just like David. But David was a man after God's own heart. He's one of my favorite Bible characters. And David missed it on this occasion. And God wanted him depending on his God. God said, all right, if you're going to count on your numbers, then I'll send the plague and I'll smite the thing that you're counting on. And just like that, 70,000 of his men died. Now, God allowed the plague to come. You got to know God is a good God. But see, God hedges us in. And when God lets the hedge down because of something we've done, because of the way we're walking in the flesh and we displease God like David did, all of a sudden, that hedge is down, and the devil is right ready to pounce on you. But stick with me. We're hedged in. Hallelujah. See, God wanted David wrapped up in God and not wrapped up in the numbers. That's what I'm trying to say. Because the numbers, they can be here today and they can be gone tomorrow. But if God is your source, you can depend on God and you'll be able to make it. People come and people go, but the word of the Lord to you remains the same. I'll never forget when I first started pastoring, I had some people that they did me wrong. They said, "Do you know we're the top tithers in this church?" And out of my spirit, these words came. I said, "Well, if you pay your tithe, you don't pay it to me. You pay it to God." And all of a sudden, they said, "Well, we'll leave if you don't do this." I said, "You can do what you want to." I said, "But let me tell you something. The spirit of prophecy come over me. I get bold when the prophet shows up." I said, "You can walk away if you want to." I said, "But God will send me 10 people in your place." They walked out the front door and 10 more came in the side door. They've been coming. Woo, glory to God. I tell you, God can get you where God wants you. Nobody can stop you but you. And if you'll put your hand in that nail-scarred hand and walk with the Master, let go and let God and listen to him do what he says, the rest of it will be history. See, God smote the thing that David was counting on. Some of you know what it is to have God smite something. He just lets the heads down. See, David was counting on the numbers to win that battle. And God allowed 70,000 men to die of a plague in 72 hours. See, the issue is not, do I have enough numbers? The issue is, am I doing God's will? Let me say that again. The issue has never been the numbers. The issue in your life and in my life, and your victories are attached to this, and mine are attached to this. Am I doing God's will? That's all that matters. I cannot tell you the number of churches that have come open over the last 22 years. And I'm sure I would have been a candidate for some of those. I have never submitted my name one time. Why is that? Because I know I'm where God planted me. Through the hard times, through the victories, through the tough times, through the struggles, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Yes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. I can't tell you what the word of God has meant in my life. Oh, I get discouraged sometimes, not for long, but I do at times. I get down sometimes. I'm in a human body. You know, flesh is flesh. I don't care whose bones you put it on, you know. And we're all tested, we're all tempted, and we're all tried. But I said, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him, church. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. God sees your heart. God sees your faith. God is at work. You can depend on God. God has moved. God will continue to move. Restoration, full restoration is on the way. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pay the full price. Glory to God. Pay the full price. Look at what God's already done. Hallelujah. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. David was counting on his numbers, and God gave him three options for the sin that he had committed. Number one, a famine for 3 years. For 3 years, David would be looking at bulging eyes and swollen stomachs as the little Israeli children were running around hungry because they didn't have enough food. Option number two for the sin that David had committed. For 3 months, you will be turned over to the hands of your enemies. God was telling David, I'm the one who has held your enemy back. The enemy has you on his hit list. And if he could, let me tell you something. The devil would have killed you a long time ago. But God holds the devil back. And what God was saying is, I will lift my protective hand off of you, David. I'm going to do it because I would have done it a long time ago. But you've grieved my heart, and now I'm giving you this option. For 3 months, I will not intervene and stand between you and what the enemy wants to do. He's letting the head stand. You know, that makes me want to shout. The devil wants to kill us, but he can't get to us because God is holding him back. Oh, he would love to kill me, but he can't get to me. I'm hidden in the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. But it shall not come nigh me. Why? Because I'm hedged in. Go on, praise God. You are hedged in. God has built a hedge of protection around you. Glory to God. See, God has pulled me out of the jaws of death so many times, it doesn't bother me when I face it. I just have to be honest with you. The devil has tried to take me out a long time ago, but he couldn't do it because God said, I'm not ready for him yet. I remember when we were going to Israel, that people, about 300 or 400 people, they had airplanes loads of us going on that tour. And about 300 people backed out. They backed out because the plane got hijacked into Egypt, and they were afraid. So he said, are we going? I said, yeah, we're going. I said, I wasn't a sinner when I went into combat in Vietnam. I said, I wasn't even born again. God brought me out of that. I said, I belong to him. And I'll go in there, and I'll come out, and I won't have a bit of fear about it. Hallelujah. Because God's hand is on my life, and I know it's on my life. See, when you know God's hand is, if he took me right now, praise God, that was way back in the 80s. Here I stand, full of power, full of strength. The devil's tried to take me out with my heart, tried to put counts on me. Automobile accidents, God said, you can't have him. Snatch me right out of it. Hallelujah. That's the God you serve. The God who is more than enough. And if I went home today, guess what? I would say, God, it's been a great journey. It's been a great life serving you, God. It's just been wonderful. It's been joy unspeakable that's full of glory. Just remember who your God is. And remember who your source is. And don't let the petty problems of life weigh you down. You have a choice, and you can decide that I'm going to believe God, or you can be like the rest of the people. And you can just say, well, God don't do that anymore. God will do anything you're believing for. I said, God will do anything you got faith for. Hallelujah. God's a good God. If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for me. Brother Philip, God's for you. Pastor Ricky, God is for you. God is for you, brothers and sisters. God is for you. God cares. He'll head you in. Hallelujah. See, God has the devil on the leash. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And when he says, devil, stop, he has to stop. The devil can't get to you when God says stop. He couldn't get to Job. God had hedged him in, built a hedge of protection around him. And you and I, we have a hedge of protection. It's called the whole armor of God. And we got the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Suited up with the whole armor, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, loins of truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts. Here comes another dart. Shoo, 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 shoo. That's all right. I got the shield of faith. See, I'm hedged in. You're hedged in. And as long as you walk that way, you're hedged in. They couldn't get to Jesus. He was hedged in. God let the hedge down so they could crucify him. They couldn't get to Paul. Paul was caught up in the third heaven. He said, I was shown things. He said, I can't even tell some of them. He was hedged in. God had to let the hedge down. And he said, that was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan, a demon spirit to buffet him. People want to make him sick. No, they beat the man Three times they busted every bone in his foot, and he walked all over the known world. Stoned him to death at Lystra, got up and walked all over the world. Beat him five times with 39, 40 stripes, saved one, 39 stripes on his back. He got up and walked away. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't stop me. Look at my body. Look at what I've been through. You can't stop me. I'm on a mission from God. God's got me hedged in. I got a little messenger to remind me that I need to stay humble before God. If he didn't give me that, I'd be so exalted above all measure that I would think I was God. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you, and I'm going to give you a demon spirit that wherever you go, that demon's going to follow you. And that demon stayed on his trail. That's all it was a spirit. Paul cast the devil out any time he wanted to. But he couldn't get rid of that one. Why? God had him hedged in. But God says, I'm keeping you humble. I want you to always know that I'm the one that's done what was done in your life. See, I've got some things in my life, and you've got some. And they're there to keep us humble. So our heads don't get so big. God just stick a little pin in that. And all of a sudden it just goes back down. Amen. But we are what we are by the grace of God. And God is working on us. Hallelujah. God has held the devil back so many times. And he will hold the enemy back. Amen. Therefore, the worst episode of your life, it cannot destroy you if you're a child of God. I said the worst episode of your life. Listen to me. Some of you are up and down like a termite on a yo-yo, vacillating back and forth. Get the word. The devil cannot destroy you. And the worst day of your life, let me tell you, it cannot stop you. And there's a law that tells me why it cannot stop me. And it cannot stop you. It's called Romans 8:28. Put Romans 8:28 up there, brother. I want you to see this law. Because so many people, they start through something. They say, God, where are you? Where are you, God? Pay the full price. Turn your faith loose. Believe God. Pay that price that he's been dealing with you to pay. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about total surrender. I'm talking about, God, I've got some things that need to be changed, and I've got some ways that I don't even like, and give it to God. I mean, I work on it all the time. I'm still working on it. Amen. We know. I love that. It's one of the seven no's of Paul. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Say it backwards. To those who live according to God's purpose and who are living according to his will. Now you're getting on down there. We know that all things work together for good for those people. So don't try to claim Romans 8:28 if you're not humble before God, if you're not humble before people. If you don't walk in the light of God's word, don't try to claim that. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to you if you love God and if you love people created in the image of God. And I'll tell you something. You can cut yourself off from the flow just like David did. And I can cut myself off from the flow. Now, for the worst episode in your life, it cannot destroy you if you're a child of God, if you're living according to purpose. Then God gave David offer number three. So we got 3 years of famine, 3 months in the hand of the enemy, 3 days in the hand of God. I love David because David was a warrior, but David was a worshiper. He loved to worship God. And David said, I know which one I'm going to choose because I found out that no matter how bad I mess up, if I'll just sing him a song, if I just lift my hand, if I just shout a glory, praise ye the Lord. I know if I'll just do that, that I know that his mercy endures forever. I know he's a merciful God. I know he's a good God. So he may be angry right now, but that's all right. I'm going to sing him a song. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want for anything. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same. Oh, well, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same. Oh, well, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah. So David said, put me in the hands of God. And for 3 days, judgment came, and 70,000 of his numbers, they died because of David's sin of disobedience. God touched the very thing he was counting on. And at the end of 3 days, the prophet walks in and he told David to go to the threshing floor of Onan. And the Bible says when he got there that Onan went out to meet him. And Onan said, David, it's such an honor to have such a great man like you to come and visit me. Here, David, hear the cattle. Hear the instruments of sacrifice. David, I want to give you this piece of land. It's all yours, David. It's bought and paid for, and I want you to have it because it's such an honor to have a man like you, King David, come and visit me. My Lord, what would our flesh have said to us? Ask yourself that question. What would your flesh have said? I'll give it all. Bible said David refused his offer. David said, I can't take that with you, from you. I cannot take it without paying the full price. If I'm going to sacrifice something to God, woo, glory, I got to pay the full price. How many of us come into the house of God, yet we never pay the full price? We never give everything to God, and we're coming in to a holy God who knows the thought and the intent of our hearts. Search me, O God, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Remove it, O God, and lead me in the way everlasting. Can you cry that to God? Can you really get serious with God? I'm talking about revival coming to America. I'm talking about a spiritual tsunami. I'm talking about revival coming to your home and revival coming to this community when people will pay the full price. David said, I can't take it unless I pay the full price. See, some people are looking for God. And then some people are looking for others that will build an altar to God. Build an altar. Build it right in the middle of your mess. I've been there so many times. It looks so messy, God. I said, build an altar. Sacrifice of praise. Trust me. I love that scripture. It says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. That means that I've got to come in here sometimes and I've got to get some ashes off the altar. I got to clean it out. You know, if you leave enough ashes on an altar, it'll go out. You leave enough ashes in your fireplace, unless it's gas, it'll go out. You have to remove those ashes every day. New fuel has to be put on that altar. That's what Friday night prayer is all about. Catch the vision if you can. If you can't come, I understand that. You know, but a lot of people, they want somebody else to pray them out of their situation. There's nothing wrong with getting other people to pray. But many times, God is wanting me or you to build an altar for ourselves. Sometimes, God wants you to build the altar because God wants to do a mighty work in you. He wants me to build it because he wants to do a mighty work in me. And there are times that God wants to develop us. He wants to develop our faith. And I can look back on my own life, and I can see the times when I was going through something. And I'm not a type person to say, why God, why is this happening to me? I just know I was all messed up when I came to the Lord. And I just knew, Brother Ray, I knew I just got to give everything to God. I got to pay the full price no matter what. And so I just surrendered to God. You know, my wife will ask me this question at times. She said, Jerry, why don't they serve God more? Why are they up and down like they are? I said, maybe they didn't get what you got. There's a price to the anointing. There's a price to walking in that secret place. But God has opened it up for us. And David, this man after God's own heart, he knew he had to pay the full price. Amen. There are times when you cannot take a shortcut. There are times that you can't get the bargain basement price. There's just times that you got to pay the full price. And so David told Ornan, he said, I don't want you to give me a 10% discount. I don't want 10% off. I don't want the bargain base price. I want to pay the full price. So when you're going through a trial, you just need to throw both hands up, worship God, and let God be God. God is not surprised by anything that you're going through. He knew what was going to happen before you ever got in that crisis, before that mess ever came your way. God has always had a plan to bring you out. He said, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of good, not of evil. Woo! I read that. I said, glory to God, no matter what I'm going through, my Father has a plan. He's going to bring me out. He's going to restore me. He's going to do it. He promised me he would. And it's not easy when you're walking through that place, but if you'll pay the full price, that's why I love to start with 21 days of prayer and fasting, the first of the year. I say, God, I'm setting the course for the rest of the year. Now, we do that as a corporate fast, but there'll be times I fast during the year. I'm not going to tell you a thing about it. I just do it unto the Lord. And I do that because the Holy Ghost moves on me. Says, I want something out of you. And if I'm going to put something in you, I got to take something out of you. Hallelujah. When you pay the full price right in the middle of your storm, right in the middle of the crisis, right in the middle of your situation, you say, God, I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. You're in control. But I'm going to build an altar in the middle of my mess, and I believe you will bring me out. Let me tell you, you don't learn how to pray and how to use your faith when everything is going fine. You learn how to pray, and you learn how to use your faith when you're going through the storms of life. You don't learn how to pray when you got plenty of money, but you learn how to pray when you can't pay your bills. You learn how to pray when you build an altar right in the middle of your mess, and you build an altar unto the Lord. We all need church to pay the full price. David told Ornan, he said, I'm going to pay the price, the full price, for I will not take what is yours and offer it unto the Lord. What a heart. I'm going to pay all. And David built an altar to the Lord. And when he did, the Bible says, the fire from heaven fell and consumed that sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. What Paul is saying, all the stuff God has blessed you with, what God really wants is you. And if he can get you, then God can do in your life what he wants to do. I don't know if anybody else is hearing this, but when you build an altar right in the middle of your crisis, God will turn it around for your good if you will pay the full price. That's the question. Are you willing to pay the full price out of the situation that God wants to bring you through? There are no cheap ways. There are no shortcuts into the glory. There are no shortcuts into the anointing. There's no shortcut into what God has purposed for your life. I've had so many people, they've tried to get me sidetracked. Come on, and let's do this and that. Nothing wrong with those activities. But I've been after something all my life, my Christian life. I want to know him. And sometimes I just can't take that fishing trip with you. I'm sorry. Sometimes I can't go have that meal with you. Sometimes I just got to... I got grandchildren now, and I'm trying to find a balance in this thing because I love those little grandchildren. I want to be there. But I love God, and I love people. And if I don't hear from God, if God doesn't anoint me and touch me, I cannot be that vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, and prepared for every good work. God is wanting to prepare us for some good works, but you have to pay the full price. David left there that day thinking this was one of the darkest days in his life when he walked off of that mountain. But years later, God said to Solomon, his son, he says, go build the temple of God, not just in any place, but I want you to build it on the threshing floor of Onan. Build it right on top of the ashes and the sacrifice and the prayers that your daddy David prayed. That's exactly where I want you to build that. Look at 2 Chronicles 3 and 1. We started in 1 Chronicles. We're in 2 Chronicles 3 and 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in the Mount of Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. Isn't that amazing? What the devil meant for evil, God turned it around for good. And Solomon built that temple, and the glory of God filled that place. And the priests could not even stand to minister. And wherever Israel went, they would turn to that temple and they would pray. But today, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And all we have to do is turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full into that wonderful face. And the cares of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his mercy and grace. What a great God. I'm preaching to myself tonight. Jerry, pay the full price. There are miracles. There are miracles that people need. There are lost souls that need to be born again. And then there are people that get born again and they have tremendous bondages. And they need someone, a group of people, anointed by God, to just reach inside of them and lift that thing in Jesus' name. God wants to raise up a church that's willing to pay the full price. I love you. And I believe the best is yet to come. I believe I'm talking to some people that you've waded through all the other stuff. You've been through some tremendous battles and you've had your heart broken and many times. Yet God has been there and you've watched the hand of God work and you've seen him do some great things. That man preached this morning. He preached good. He said, we're in the last days. He said, God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. It's not time to play church. It's time to be the church. Hallelujah. Let us stand. Glory to God. Brother Blue, give him some mic over there, please.
How much it costs to see my sin upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it costs, oh, to see my sin upon, sing that again, cross, and I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it costs. cost.
Think about that.
To see my sin upon that cross.